The life of faith is a life where memory is very, very important. I was thinking of that film this week, Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future. I don't know if you've seen that film. Now, the details of the film are irrelevant, but the title is relevant, that the life of faith is a back to the future way of life, that we have to go back in order that we can go forward into the future. And the way we go back is through the recall of memory. And keeping memory alive is so important. The Word of God is so powerful. And even in this reading tonight, we see that there are accusations hurled at Jesus while he is on the cross, where in that moment, memory is important. Now, I can't get into the mind of Jesus, and it wouldn't be right for me to speculate what was in his mind on the cross, but Satan is very predictable, and the things which he is hurling at Jesus through the accusers around the cross are the same things that he was hurling at Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. The word "if" appears. If you are the king of the Jews, if you are the Messiah, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, attacking his very identity. And I have no idea what was in Jesus' mind as he hung on the cross. I know it was a battle for him because he cried out from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it was a battle for him, in fully human, fully divine, but in his humanity, it was such a battle. And there was a battle for him when he was in the wilderness. And what he did was, he recalled the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the words that we heard a couple of weeks ago in our all-age service, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, even as you are hanging on the cross. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, and you're to worship the Lord your God only, and you're not to put the Lord your God to the test, all from Deuteronomy 6. And that's how Jesus survived the trial in the wilderness. And memory is the way we get through the greatest trials in our life. And yet before he went to the cross, Jesus said to the disciples, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He said to them, memory is important. It's a command. It's not an optional thing. It's you really need to do this. You really need to do this often. So why are we commanded to remember? It's because we are forgetful. Because all of us need to find practical ways to remember things. If we don't write it down, maybe we'll never remember it. And yet, even with the best systems, we still forget things, don't we? That's true practically in our daily lives, but it's also true spiritually. I Again, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Do not forget the Lord your God. Don't forget. It's especially a word when we are coming into a perhaps an easier season. Maybe we've been through a tough season and we come into an easier season, and in that moment we can forget the Lord. I can remember at a moment of my life, it was at the end of a very tough year, and the clouds started to clear, provision was given, new employment, new life, exciting possibilities. And in that moment, the word came really strongly from the Lord to me as I moved to a new city. Do not forget the Lord your God, who kept you through that difficult time, who provided for you. Do not forget. Because when prosperity comes, that's when our hearts can turn away from the Lord. It's Samuel Johnson who said that we need to be more often reminded than to be informed. Sometimes people might think, well, every sermon has to be a new insight. That's not the way it works. It's actually about reminding one another of the things we've heard hundreds of times before. That's the way faith grows. Yes, it's good to get a fresh angle. It might help people to stay awake sometimes if you've heard it before. But the reason why the repetition is so important is because we very quickly forget. But the biblical message from beginning to end is not that it's a slight problem if we forget, it's an absolute spiritual disaster. That is the message of Deuteronomy. It says, you will surely be destroyed. And I think that's talking about self-destruction if we turn away from all the commands and blessings of the Lord and try to do things in our own strength. But also the disciples who were told so many times by Jesus that I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be put to death, and on the third day I'll rise again. What happened when the time of testing came? They all ran away. Because they'd forgotten. And even when Jesus had risen from the dead, they didn't understand when the woman said, the tomb is empty, because they had forgotten. So if that's the case for all our forefathers in the Bible, how much more so is it for us? But then there's an unusual thing that happens throughout Scripture, is that we take on board this command to remember, but also there's prayers in the Bible asking God to remember. We read one from Psalm 25 tonight. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. There's Nehemiah, when the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, he's praying and he says, remember, Lord, the promise that you gave to Moses, the promise that if you're to return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are on the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love. Even Moses, when he's praying after the golden calf apostasy, he's asking God to remember the promise to Abraham. So the question tonight is, does God forget? Is God forgetful? Does God have amnesia? Well, this, one of the prayers in Psalm 13 is, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And isn't it true that often we can feel like God has forgotten us? That our prayers are, as it were, bouncing off the ceiling? But God is infinite, and he's all-knowing, and he never forgets. In fact, he goes out of his way to say that. In Isaiah 49, Israel says, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. This is when they're in exile. And God replies, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? I cannot forget you. How can I give you up? So what's happening here is that we feel forgotten, but we are not forgotten. Sometimes we can go through an experience where it seems as if we can't understand why it's happening. But biblical faith is that when understanding runs out, faith grows. When understanding runs out, faith grows. Faith is not about understanding everything. If we understood everything, we wouldn't need any faith. Faith is when we come to realize that God is a dependable, rock-solid presence in our lives at all times. And the memory is the memory of hope. So the faith when we don't understand, and the hope as we go back in order to go forward to the future. We go back to his promises. So what is happening with this prayer of remember? It's actually the person praying that is repeating back to God the things he already knows. Angus said this morning. A lot of prayer is about praying back to God things that he already knows. And we're saying, God, I believe that you have promised. I believe that you are trustworthy and true to your promises. And even if I don't understand what's happening in this moment, because of what you have done in the past, and because of the promises you have kept in the past, then I am going to trust you for the future. I'm looking back, and I'm not disappointed. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5. He says that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross and his resurrection. Hope doesn't disappoint us. As we look to the future, we're not disappointed because of what he has done in the past. And we see that throughout all the Psalms. They are remembering what God has done. We remember your mighty deeds in the past. They rehearse them. They sing about them. And we sing about them too every week at church. And what's going on there is that we are recalling the great deeds of God in the past. In Christ alone, my hope is found. the death, the resurrection. Summed up in Psalm 25 there, remember your great mercy and your great love. I believe that you're merciful. I believe that you're gracious. I believe that you're loving because you have demonstrated that in Jesus Christ. That's all we have. That's all we have. There are times in our life when we can be like Peter and we see things getting worse. And Jesus says, are you going to leave too? And he says, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The context of that conversation was that Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The whole secret of discipleship is to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a difficult saying. And the crowd started to fall away. Is it really down to that? Is it really reduced to that? To eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we came for a banquet because you were feeding the 5,000 and now you're saying it's about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. I think we're just going to go home now. And Jesus said, yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about depending on my body given and my blood shed. That's what it's all about. And if our hope is focused in that central act of the cross and his resurrection, then we have eternal life. You have the words of eternal life, Peter said. There's nowhere else I want to go. And I have conversations all the time, as I'm sure you do, with people who are just going through so much suffering. And the one thing that can't be taken from us is Jesus. Everything else can be taken from us, but not Jesus. And so we have this thief on the cross who is in this remarkable, unique position. Have you ever thought it's never too late? It's never too late to turn to Jesus. It's never too late. There's this thief on the cross, and he sees it so clearly that this Jesus has done nothing to deserve death, but that everybody else on the cross has done. The other two have, but not Jesus, the one in the middle. This man has done nothing wrong. And then he turns to Jesus. And again, we don't know what's in the thief's mind. And we know one thing's for sure is that he didn't have complete understanding. But he said, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's a promise. From the lips of Jesus. I like to think that that thief died peacefully when Jesus said the words, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. That is what we need to face the future. We need to look back to see the rock solid, absolutely game changing death of the Son of God reconciliation to God, sins forgiven, completely, peace with God, peace with one another. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Can you say that tonight? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. Because they don't know what they're doing. Peace with God, peace with one another. But also, the certainty of God's promise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Is anything stronger than that? Than the promise of Jesus? And when he rises on the third day, it becomes a hope that is to be shared with everybody. Because we all need that. The world needs that. And we all know that there's loved ones that have died recently. Loved ones that have served Jesus for decades, have told others about Jesus for decades. But we know that the promise of Jesus is not only true for them, but is being experienced by them in this moment as we are here tonight, as we share this communion meal together, that they in heaven are also worshiping the Lamb around the throne. So let's sing together, "Worthy is the Lamb."